I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro. I need the noises of destruction.
On 2018, best of the rest. This is Bro on the World Film Beat, Breaking Glass, and my final Cannes roundup. All the other critics have gone home, but I'm still on the Quasette, the Cannes boardwalk, sweeping up after them. This week, I'll finish my Cannes reporting with a look at the best of the three other competitions. Director's Fortnight, which generally features newer directors, En Certain Regard for more established directors, and Critics Week, generally for directors new to the festival. These are films that will be released throughout the year that can easily get lost in the Hollywood and American independent glut. Keep an eye out for them because, though deserving, they are likely to be the films that, if they get reviewed at all, get stuck on, for example, the New York Times page of 8 reviews. In general, the director's Fortnight, not officially a part of the festival, and which was begun the year after Godard and Truffaut closed Cannes in 68, tries to be more of a breath of fresh air. Its choices tend as much toward the social as the aesthetic, whereas En Certain Regard is more staunchly and purely aesthetic, and its choices are sometimes harder to swallow or sit through. This year, the director's Fortnight had a distinct Latin and South American flavor, as did the original program in 69, awash with the banners of Latin American revolution. The 2018 films tended to center on indigenous peoples, and many of the better films at the festival were about the damage being done to native customs more in line with nature. Before we go to that, I do need to add that there was a calling out of the critics as well at the festival in this year of Me Too. It occurred around the screening of Girls of the Sun, a film about a squadron of Kurdish female fighters engaged against ISIS. This was a film where 82 women mounted the steps of the Palais to urge the industry to employ more women. The film was directed by one of only three female directors in any area of the festival, and the reviews afterwards by mostly male critics roundly panned the film. Several of the women in attendance then denounced the reviews as indicating that the ranks of reviewers needed to open up also. This reminds me of moments in both comedy and rock and roll when women needed to call attention to the fact that their humor and ways of making music was different rather than not funny or not listenable. Female comedians and female bands have both gained in attention, and both fields have been the better for it. Michelle Wolf is currently perhaps not only the fastest rising, but also the funniest and most politically astute practitioner of contemporary comedy. Hopefully next year, there will be a swelling in the ranks of female reviewers as well. Here are four of the best films outside the main competition via review of some of the others. Woman at War. This on-screen extension of Me Too, about an Earth mother battling global energy companies in Iceland, opens with a razzle-dazzle sequence with this lone warrior with bow and arrow bringing down a power plant. Hala is a choir teacher by day, but an environmental activist by night, attempting to keep Rio Tinto and Chinese developers out of Iceland's rural highlands, one of the last bastions of nature in Europe. This is the real Wonder Woman, who battles for justice for the world's climate victims. The film's concluding segment has Hala visiting the Ukraine to adopt a girl orphaned by a war that is seen as having unleashed untold natural devastation on that country, a war provoked by U.S. and NATO aggression in the region. Aiding her in her quest are on-screen musicians and Ukrainian folk dancers whose music is a cultural echo of the natural life Hala is sworn to protect. The Gentle Indifference of the World. Bonnie and Clyde in Kazakhstan, in a film whose title is a quote from Camus. The title is facetious. The world the film describes is far from gentle, and rather than indifferent, it's cruel. As a young girl is sent by her mother from the country to the city to be betrothed to a rich man to settle the family's debts. She's accompanied by a village compatriot who loves her and becomes a kind of guardian angel. What they encounter is a world where businessmen and gangsters look and act alike. After multiple deceptions, the duo takes to the road in the film's strongest sequence in a desperate bid for freedom that both recalls and outdoes the final scene of Bonnie and Clyde. This is a bitter but enchanting look at the region and the coming of neoliberalism to it. The Snatch Thief, this film noir from Argentina about the motorcycle getaway driver of a purse-snatching duo, which might have been better titled The Motorcycle Thief, is a reminder that Argentina has an expert history as a creator of crime films with doomed heroes from the 40s and 50s. The thieves drag an old lady with them as they make off with her pocketbook, which disturbs the driver, Miguel, who then slowly insinuates his way into the victim's life, with the two becoming intertwined. The film features shots framed in the 1940s Hollywood style, with the thief in foreground watching Miguel's righteous father bidding for the affection of his son, choker close-ups of Miguel facing off with his partner, who wants him to continue his life of crime, and a sense of foreboding affecting the lead as he attempts forgiveness in a perilous way. The film with its low-caste characters is also a look at the other side of a suffering Argentina that its right-wing, market-oriented government is bent on denying. Birds of Passage. Yes, this is Scarface in Colombia, with its tale of the rise and fall of a drug dealer in the north of that country in the land of the Wayuu Indians. But it's also so much more. Directed by the team that created The Embrace of the Serpent, about the encounter of a German explorer and the last of an Indian tribe, this follow-up is about a similar theme, only writ larger. It details the 20-year history of the tribe's involvement in selling and shipping marijuana, and what it adds to the typical gangster film is an acute awareness of the ways that greed, violence, and the customs of the West penetrate and ultimately destroy not only the gangster capo, but the tribe as well, as one by one the customs that allowed it to survive are surrendered to a substitute thirst for material goods. We watch collective pride be replaced by vengeance in a way that deepens the gangster genre, while delivering all the expectations of that genre based on the lead dealer's rise and fall. This is Narcos from the Colombian perspective, which both quotes that series in a parallel scene where the police stop the drug runners not to imprison them, but to make sure they get their cut, while also outdoing the Netflix vehicle in its inner understanding of its subject. Two other films also dealt with Latin American turmoil. Los Silencios, or The Silences, is a kind of passionate plea to end the war in Colombia between the government and right-wing paramilitaries and the revolutionary group, the FARC. The film is actually many movies in one, about a refugee family fleeing the war, trying to get access to Brazil, about the remote island they arrive at somewhere between Peru, Colombia, and Brazil, at the moment that it is about to be overrun by a casino, as well as a coming-of-age film of a young girl, perhaps the strongest moments of the film. The Brazilian director, Beatriz Sinier, appeared before the film, appealing to the audience to take a stand against the false imprisoning of Lula, the Workers' Party candidate, who was even from his jail cell leading the presidential polls. She also said that Kleber Mendoza, Fio, the director of Aquarius, a film with Sonia Braga, who at Cannes in 2016 had called attention to an earlier legislative coup against then-president Dilma Rosa, was forced by the neoliberal Temer government to give back the grant he had received as punishment for calling attention to the coup. Elsewhere, The Dead and Others follows a young Amazonian Indian family while a heavy air of loss by the father for his father hangs over him and threatens to overcome him. The family goes to the nearby town to work to raise money for the burial, and there's a heartbreaking scene where the father, for his own reasons at the moment, refuses to return with his wife and son. The recounting of the attempt to live in their own way and the tenderness of the family is excellent, but the constant tarrying with the dark side of the lead character feels like an extraneous Western imposition. Another kind of indigenous wandering takes place in Tenet, or The Charge, a film from Serbia that recalls the 1999 NATO bombing of the country and that opens with a display of shock and awe as the skies are ablaze above a lone truck gliding through the night. The film focuses on its driver who cannot listen to the radio because NATO satellites have jammed the signal and who risks his life on the road in a way that recalls the truck drivers hauling dynamite in Wages of Fear. There's an air of sadness about the film for the breakup of Yugoslavia, and particularly the Serb partisans' opposition to the Nazis that the farce of the NATO invasion and the Kosovo War only mocks. Finally, there were two horror films that left their imprint on the festival. The better of these was Borders from Sweden, written by the author of Let the Right One In, a socially critical vampire film. Borders introduces a new type of monster with its own rules, while focusing on a female custom sniffer with a face not even a mother could love, which is one of the questions of the film, and an apparently missing tail. Much of the film is absorbing as it questions our tolerance for the other, but finally it succumbs to what it is questioning, with one of the monsters seen ultimately as terrifying other, while the second moves to become more liberal part of the society, that is, becomes acceptable because she tames or sheds her otherness. Die Monster Die, on the other hand, is an Argentine film without the soul of the snatch thief. Its overflowing of bodily fluids from all cavities is simply an example of art splatter, as Noel Carroll once described art horror. It adds up to little, and in its gross-out effects, seems more like a master degree highlight reel designed to get the director Hollywood recognition once he jettisons the pretentious existential overlay of who is and isn't a monster. Oh well, there's room for blatant careerism at Cannes also. And this is Bro on the World Film Beat, breaking glass and winding up my coverage of Cannes 2018. Oh, change of mind.
Dennis Brough is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes, jazzistiques et artistiques, à notre écoute.